Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy on KFI is provided by DSL Extreme at dslextreme.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my KFI podcast. This show originally aired on KFI AM 640 in Los Angeles on Saturday, November 25th, 2006. This is show 303.
November 25th, 2006.
Right now it is 65 in Westminster, 63 in Laguna Beach, 66 in Marina Del Rey. It is 61 in Encino. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. At 11:05, I'm Ginger Chan, KFI News.
Thank you, Ginger.
Good morning. 11:05, Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. Here to talk high tech with you on the busiest shopping weekend of the year. 1-800-520-1KFI is the phone number. 1-800-520-1534. Certainly we will be talking about things to buy. Somebody sent me an email. Said, post the podcast right away as soon as you're off the air, because I need to know what to buy. At which point I pointed out, you know, you could listen to the show. It wouldn't hurt to listen to the show a little bit. So we'll talk about things, gadgets, stuff you might want to buy, take a look at. I have a list of my favorite products of the year in a couple of different categories. We'll talk about that. I'd like to get your suggestions, too. Maybe you've already got a shopping list and you know what you're getting, your geek, and you'd like to share some suggestions. I'd love to hear from you on that. Yesterday was Black Friday, but Monday is Cyber Monday. Although I don't know how much it's still Cyber Monday. I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal saying Cyber Monday. I think that's kind of old hat. Let me see if I can find it here. Front page of the money and investment section of today's journal. Clicking with Cyber Monday. Rivalry among online sites gives holiday shoppers deals and better tools to find them. I'll give you that. There's no question that the competition is good, and you just heard the every store has the loss leader to get you into the store, the $20 DVD player or the sub-$1,000 plasma. It's just as competitive online. Free shipping is really common. In fact, you probably shouldn't buy unless you get free shipping. You know, shop around. Good prices. In some cases, some of these sites are actually offering stuff below cost. That's an age-old internet tradition. Offer stuff for less than it costs you. And you're seeing some of that. But I don't know if Cyber Monday really holds anymore. It used to be, of course, that people would, you know, shop in the stores on Friday, but wait till they went to work on Monday to do their online shopping because nobody had high-speed internet at home. But now everybody does, right? More than half of you. Probably more than three-quarters of the people listening to this show have high-speed internet. So, you know, why wait till Monday? Why wait till you're at work? Where you get in trouble for doing it. I bet you today is a big online shopping day. Sites seem, maybe it's just me, but the sites seem a little slow and flaky today. Because, of course, I was doing some shopping, too. I went into a few stores to see if they had any PlayStation 3s or Nintendo Wii's. No, most did not. However, almost all of them said more Wii's on the way. Wii's on the way. But not so many PlayStation 3s on the way, like none. So if you didn't get a PlayStation 3 and you don't want to spend $4,000 online on eBay for one, you'll probably be able to get a Wii. And I liked the Wii. I thought it was innovative and interesting. But if you have an HD TV, I don't think the Wii is the way to go. If you have an HD TV, an Xbox 360 is certainly the way to go. You can't get a PlayStation 3. Why, you know, the Xbox 360 looks so good on an HD TV. And now they have the $200 add-on, the HD DVD add-on. It seems to me that's the game machine. It's the bugs have been worked out. It was hideously buggy when it came out a year ago, but now it's been out for a while. And you know, PlayStation 3 is going to go through that same kind of shakeout period. Why suffer through that? I'm not a shill for Microsoft. In fact, if you listen to the show, you know I'm definitely not a shill for Microsoft, but that does seem of the three to be the one to get. With the Wii, a close second. certainly if price is an issue, the Wii is a big savings. The Xbox is $400. That, you know, they have a $300 one just to tease you, but it doesn't have the hard drive. By the time you upgrade it with the stuff you need, you might as well have bought the $400 one. And that's just for the Xbox. Then the games are $70.
Yay!
They're really expensive. Now, compare that to the Wii, where you're going to pay $250 for the game machine, $150 less. And the games are $50. Even the hot one, The Legend of Zelda, $50, $20 less. So it's a much more affordable game machine. It's not, you know, if you want high def, it's not the one to get. The images look fine. They're good. It's a quality machine. You know, it's roughly, it's not much better, I would say, than the Xbox or the PlayStation 2. Maybe it's a little better than the PlayStation 2, maybe. You know, it's normal definition. If you have a high def, though, and you really want the games to look spectacular, I'm blown away by how good the Xbox 360 looks. I really am. And the hot games this year, I think, are the Xbox 360 games. So there's a little help if you've got a kid. Now, if you really want to save money and you want to make the kid just as happy, he's really, you're talking Xbox 360, you're not talking a kid, you're talking a grown-up man. You're talking your husband. But if you if you have a kid to shop for, I think the Nintendo DS Lite is a great choice. Now, pink, black, and white, very inexpensive, like $120. The games are great. It's portable. Kids love that. It's got a lot of neat features, including a touch screen and a voice recognition. Some games for adults that I think are just fantastic, playability speaking, you know, in terms of the fun. It's a little screen, and, you know, it's not going to be high def, but in terms of playability, I think they're very good choices. We'll talk about cameras. I have a GPS recommendation. MP3 players, that's kind of a no-brainer. I've been playing with the Zune all week, you know, hoping that it would give some competition to the iPod, because competition is good for consumers. You know, we want competition. It's not good for one company to dominate. Unfortunately, the Zune, while interesting, is not the player to get this year. Maybe next year. There is some interesting stuff happening in terms of how the Zune and the Xbox 360 work together. Microsoft this week, kind of in a surprise move, started selling TV shows and renting movies on the Xbox 360. So the Xbox 360 is very focused towards the online side. You don't have to go online with it, but if you do, you have online gaming with Xbox Live, and now you can buy stuff. Now you can actually buy TV shows, and I bought a couple. They look great. They're 480p, the TV shows. They're not high def. But on my small, sharp Aquos, I think it's a 37-inch, they look fantastic. Maybe it's a 32-inch. It's small. Yeah, I think it's 32. They look fantastic. I mean, this is a 720p TV, 1080p TV, and they very look absolutely as good as they do on broadcast. I also, I'm downloading a movie. They're big, so I haven't seen it yet. They offer standard definition, but also high definition movies for rent. Now, it's expensive, and I think they need to lower the price, but Microsoft is offering on the Xbox Live, you can download a standard definition movie to rent for, I think, $3, and if you want it in high definition, it's $6. You get it for 24 hours from the moment you start to play it. But you don't have to play it for 2 weeks. So you have 2 weeks to watch 24 hours once you start for $6 for high def. It's expensive, but boy, if you're in the mood. Now, here's the problem. They're huge. The high def movies are 4 or 5 gigabytes. So they take Microsoft's having a little trouble, I guess, keeping up with the demand. The downloads are slow. So right now, it's not an impulse purchase. You can start playing it after a certain amount has downloaded. But it's not the kind of thing where you say, oh, honey, let's watch a movie tonight. You buy it and you watch it. Also, you'll find that the choices are very limited. But so, you know, so was the iTunes movie store when they first started. I like this. I'm happy about this because it means that iTunes has some competition. means if you have, it means that the Xbox 360 now is more than a game machine. It's what Microsoft always wanted it to be, which is a set-top box, a box that brings you programming. You can watch stuff from your PC over the network, and now you can download shows to your Xbox and watch it there too. Of course, a 20-gig hard drive is not going to go very far if you start downloading a bunch of high-def movies. That's three high-def movies. But an interesting play. Microsoft, I think with the Zune, don't be fooled by the Zune. It is not something to purchase right now. It is clearly, just as with Apple, a longer-term strategy. It's a part of a puzzle that we're just starting to see the outlines of. For instance, as far as I know, you can't yet copy that video to the Zune. But I imagine that's just a matter of time. The Zune does have a good screen for watching video. I think we're going to start to see an integrated strategy here from Microsoft. The problem is Microsoft's tried this before. Remember the Windows Media Center and the Portable Media Center, the little play, you know, like the Gigabeat, which the Zune looks exactly like. And Microsoft seems to have abandoned that strategy, which they've done before. You know, Ultimate TV abandoned it. The problem with going with the Microsoft solution is they can't seem to make up their mind long term. But I'm starting to see a good strategy. Apple's doing the same thing. And in January, Apple's going to ship this iTV, which will allow you to watch anything on your Mac or PC if you're using iTunes on your TV set. We'll see if it's high def and all of that. We'll see if Apple starts selling high def TV shows and movies. Then we've got an interesting thing going on, I think. Apple's stock closed on Friday yesterday at a record high, and that's because of two things. The iPhone, which everybody expects Apple to announce next month, or I guess in January at Macworld Expo, a little more than a month from now. And, of course, the iTV. And analysts are seeing, this is just as with Microsoft, we have a strategy here to get Macs everywhere in the house, including the living room, including on the TV set, which is really where there's the most money to be made, selling TV shows, putting ads on there. People are looking out at TiVo, which is kind of a standalone, but very popular with the people who use it. Integrate that with your home network and your computer. All of a sudden, TiVo's moving in that direction, too. So now we have three. TiVo Series 3 is really compelling. High def, connects to your computer. I mean, we have three players in this arena. That's good. Competition is great. So it's a very interesting time we're living in. 1-800-520-1KFI. I'd like to hear from you. Find out what your holiday shopping list includes. Something you've recommended to other geeks. 1-800-520-1KFI. Lots of people listening saying, I'm not a geek, but I know one, and I need to get a gift for one. 1-800-5... Why do I make them sound like the geeks? They should sound like the normal people. The geeks sound like that. 1-800-520-1KFI. That's my phone number. I am the geek. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
The Jesus Christ Show.
Don't worry about the length of time it takes you to cook. Don't worry about all the hassles.
Right here, you're going to have DSL right Extreme, and can you see the phone screen, okay?
Concern yourself with that time where you sit down and look across from one another.
Yes, I
and
can.
Exchange thoughts and ideas.
Cool.
And appreciation for those friends and family that have been in your life.
Yeah, Rebecca said she sent it.
All right.
The Jesus Christ Show, tomorrow, 6 to 9.
On AM 640.
Here's DSL right here.
Online and on demand.
KFI, AM640.com.
Folks, all of this stuff, all this cool stuff, downloading movies, downloading music, requires what? You know, high-speed internet, right? Maybe you're still sitting on dial-up. You're going to be left behind. And let me tell you, it's so cool. Even high-speed just changes the way you use the internet because it's always on. Your email gets there in seconds, not minutes. You could check movie listings like that, directory listings like that. It's so much fun. And, of course, many people say, I can't afford it. Until I tell them that DSL Extreme is offering high-speed internet for $12.95 a month with no setup fees, 24-hour-a-day free local tech support. The modem is free. You get free spam protection. That's right, $12.95 a month for the first year for new customers. Certain restrictions apply. Now, if you are paying more than that, maybe you have high-speed, but you've got it from the cable company, and I know you're paying more than that. Maybe you get it from AOL. Ooh, ow, that's got to hurt. $12.95 from DSL Extreme, so call them. 866, the number 2, GetNet, 866-2-G-E-T-N-E-T, or visit them online at dslextreme.com. High-speed internet for just $12.95 a month. Call 866, the number 2, GetNet to get DSL Extreme.
KFI News, fueled by the worldwide resources of Fox News. KFI, AM 640.
1124. AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. I am Leo LaPorte, the tech guy on KFI. I realize it's been a Microsoft week for me. We're talking about Vista, like nonstop, on the podcasts at twit.tv. You know, Vista Security, and then Windows Weekly, we talk about new Vista features. Got a Zune, played with that all week. Got an Xbox 360, played with that all week. It's been a Microsoft week. And, you know, as usual with Microsoft, it's really an interesting company. There's definitely kernels of brilliance. They do amazing things. And then they seem to shoot themselves in the foot a little bit. The Zune, a good example. And in many, many ways, really exciting and interesting and different and new. And then they cripple it. The committee gets there, I guess. And they cripple it with stuff, or they do weird things, or like they give money to Universal. This is the thing that fries me on the Zune. Every time you buy one, money goes into the pocket of the record company. Because Microsoft agreed to pay the record company a royalty, stipulating, in effect, that people would use the Zune to pirate music, and so the record company ought to make some money every time they sold one. I don't think we should be stipulating that, Microsoft. I don't have pirated music on my Zune. I don't want to be paying money to Universal just because you think I am. That's why I'm sending the Zune back in about a week. This is a review unit, and I will not buy one. I think that is reason enough. I mean, it's very interesting. There's a lot to be said for it. The copy protection I don't like. It's a little big and heavy, but in many ways it's good. But remember, it's a Microsoft 1.0. And everything, you know, this is the old wisdom, and it's continually holds true. The first version of anything Microsoft does, stay away from. By version 3, it's the best in breed. I'm waiting for Zune 3. Show notes are online. If you go to the website, KFIAM640.com, find my page, click official website. That'll take you to leo.am, and that's where the show notes are. This is show 303. You just click on the right, where or left, I guess it is, where it says Saturday show. That'll take you to show 303. You could put comments in there. Shuby's taking the notes. Love to hear from you. Your thoughts and suggestions. It's also chat room, irc.dslextreme.com. Ernesto, San Francisco, KFI, Leo LaPorte, the tech guy. Hey, Ernesto.
Hey, Leo. Hey, I'm wondering if there's going to be any new hard drives for the Xbox 360. I don't have one yet, and I'm wondering if I should wait.
You know, I would imagine because of the way they've made it, it's just a snap-on, right? So it could easily be upgraded. In fact, I'm surprised hackers haven't upgraded it, but I think that that's probably because Microsoft has locked it down. Microsoft could easily make, you know, they could put a 250-gig hard drive on there. Maybe not, actually. I think the size is probably a laptop drive in there, so they're probably limited to 160 gigs. But that's, yes, they could make it bigger, and they ought to make it bigger if they're going to start selling high-def movies to put on it. There's no way, as far as I know, to offload the movies. But I haven't heard anything. So will they offer that soon? I don't know. Will they offer it for Christmas? I don't think so. So what I'd say, okay. I guess what I'd say is if you're going to get one now with a 20 gig hard drive, as lean as that is. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, look, it's been out for a year. So if it were an easy thing to do, you'd see companies making, you know, add-on hard drives for the Xbox 360, and they aren't. So obviously Microsoft has to do it. And if I'm Microsoft, I'm being a cynical SOB, I would say, let's wait. Make everybody buy an Xbox 360 with a 20-gig hard drive now. And in January, we'll give them a bigger hard drive. They need to, though, to go along with this selling. You didn't need one before. 20 was plenty. Now you need one if you're going to start. I mean, I guess before you can put music and pictures on it. So I guess in theory you could. But now you really do if you're going to start putting TV shows on it. They really have to. You don't have one yet, Ernesto?
No.
You've been playing with one?
I got mine last November.
Oh, you still have it?
Yeah.
So you're just wondering if you can upgrade it?
Well, no, I mean, I got the core system last November.
I see. Oh, so you haven't bought a hard drive for it yet?
No, because I haven't had the money.
Yeah, I would wait.
Yeah.
If you could survive another few months, if they're going to do it, they're going to do it soon because of this TV thing.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, I think so. So, yeah, if you bought a core system without the hard drive, I think if you can wait through Christmas, watch in January, February, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Microsoft says, oh, yeah, by the way, we just released 160 gig hard drive. They need
right.
to.
That's
they
what,
need
to. That's what I'm worried about.
It's in their interest. It probably should be cheap, too, right? So you can buy all those TV shows and movies from them. They need to do this. I think they will. And I think it's worth waiting. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 1129. Ginger Chan is in the KFI News Center.
Captain Dale Dye, tomorrow evening, 5 to 7 p.m., KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
1138, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy. KFI. I want to talk about the Michael Richards thing, but not now. I'll save it for tomorrow. But there's a relevance to this, to tech, and that is the fact that these videos now are everywhere. In the past, you know, maybe you'd see it on a Current Affair, you know, Inside Edition or Access Hollywood, and that'd be it. It'd go away. But because of internet video, this stuff persists forever, and everybody sees it. And it's not just that, it's the college football player who picked his nose, you know. Normally, you know, you might see a story about that, it'd go away, but this stuff lives on. It's the video of the L.A. police beating somebody that creates an investigation. You know, you can think of Rodney King. Yeah, that survived. But those examples are few and far between, and they require a lot of outrage and a lot of, you know, public interest. But now, thanks to things like YouTube, this stuff lasts forever. So I don't want to get too much into it, but I think it's a fascinating example of how things have changed. And we'll talk about it next show tomorrow. That'll be the subject of my sermon for the Sunday episode. Meanwhile, we're talking about toys, gadgets, things to buy for the holiday season, gift suggestions. I have a few, and I'll give you some more. Right now, I'm saying for sure, of the game machines out there, I like the Xbox 360. I'm saying don't get a Zoom, get an iPod. They're still the best of breed. Although, I do expect new iPods, perhaps in January. I think we're so close. And I think maybe the iPhone will be the new iPod. It might just be a new iPod with phone. That's how Apple did it last time. You know, they did a new iPod with video. It's not a video iPod. It's not separate from the line. It's just with a phone. They can't do that, can they? Be too expensive to put that into every one of them. There's a great video. I'll put a link in the show notes. Oh, I mean, if you wonder why people get so interested in the iPhone, you know, because of Apple's design reputation, people think, man, whatever's going to happen here is going to be amazing. And somebody's made a video that it just blows me away. This is the DeSantis brothers. I can only play the audio. It's not a TV show, unfortunately. I wish I could play the video. It's on Google Video. But it's of an iPhone floating through the air. And it's just a mind blower. I'm looking at it, but you can't see it. So I'll put the link in the show notes. In fact, I'll put it in the chat room right now. It's on Google Video. If you do a search for iTalk on Google Video, you could probably see it. Just mind-blowing. And if they made this, an iPod like this, as somebody said in the comments, I'd pay thousands for this. It floats through the air. It's got a full screen on one side, flip open to the other side. I mean, it's hard to describe. You just have to see it. That's why the Apple stock's through the roof, because people, the expectation on this. So would you buy an iPod right now? I don't know. I am giving iPods as gifts. But what I'm doing is giving the less expensive, the Nanos, maybe even a Shuffle. That'd be a good gift. Because there won't be a new Nano and there won't be a new Shuffle. Those are brand new. Those just came out a couple of months ago. What we're looking for is a new video iPod. But that's going to be several, you know, it's going to be $300 or $400, probably $400. So, you know, maybe for the holidays, don't give the most expensive iPod. I don't know. Sometimes, do you feel manipulated sometimes by these companies? I do. They drib and drab this stuff out. And they create this need and desire so that you end up having multiple iPods or whatever, multiple cell phones or whatever. Richard Fullerton, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hi, Richard. Welcome.
Yes, hello. Say, I'm trying to get a website up for selling some real estate, and I'm wondering whether to try to develop it myself or use somebody else's services.
Well, it depends if you want to learn web design and web sysadmin, you know, learn how to be administrator. If that's a goal of your life, something you'd like to learn, then I would do it yourself. If it's not something you feel is something you want to learn, I would absolutely farm it out.
Okay, first of all, if I wanted to learn myself,
it's like asking, I'm about to buy a car. Should I repair it myself? Probably not, unless you want to become a mechanic.
Okay, well, forget the learning the web. What would be good contacts?
Well, what I would say, there's so many web design companies. I don't make recommendations. The prices vary considerably. You could spend, and I think this is a great way to start, and I would recommend this. Start with somebody in college, a student of this subject, who's looking to build a portfolio, or maybe somebody new to the business. This will be the most affordable, and they, frankly, often do the best work. So I'd go to your local community college and put up a notice, or I bet you if you went and looked on the bulletin board, there'd be notices up there. Maybe look on Craigslist, which is Craigslist.com, and what you're looking for is a student of web design. Now, what you want to do is you want to look at their sites and make sure they're clean, they work, that the user interface is intelligible. Now, the question is, I know you're asking, can I judge this? Yes, you can, because you're... Put yourself in the user, you know, your customer.
Okay.
And put yourself in their space. If I were a customer, would this site attract me? Would I be able to find what I want, do what I want, get the information I need quickly and easily? And if you act as an end user and this guy's done some sample sites that make sense, then you might want to contact them. Then you're paying maybe $150 an hour, maybe even less for design, maybe a lot less. Because they want to get this portfolio up. You might be a few thousand dollars for a nice site. Now, when you go to like a big company, you can spend upwards of $100,000 for a nice site. And is that $100,000 site better? No, not necessarily. So it really, I wouldn't suggest, unless you've got money to burn, and if you're thinking of doing it yourself, I would say you probably don't, go to a student, go to somebody who's just starting out. They're going to give you, I've seen some beautiful sites done by students.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, aside from getting the website itself, is there some way that I should, get it linked to other sources so people look at it?
Yeah, that's the hard thing. You know, it's one thing to create a beautiful site, another thing to get. Is it for selling real estate? What is it that you want to do?
Yes, it's some desert land I'm trying to sell.
I see. You know, you promote this stuff the same way you promote anything. The nice, what's changed about the web is that most people now have access to it. So you'll hear on KFI lots of ads that mention websites. You'll hear or see on TV, watch as you drive down the road, you see billboards everywhere promoting websites because that has now become a commonplace way to promote something. But, you know, how do you get the word out? There's a couple of things. One is conventional means like advertising or, you know, putting up brochures or flyers. Contacting real estate offices, whatever. There's also the viral method. And I would say do both, by the way. No one method is a good method. But the viral method is the one everybody's aware of because we've all seen this where a video takes off and everybody's seeing it or a website takes off and everybody's talking about it. That's word of mouth. And, of course, it's the best way, but it's not an easy thing to do. Certainly with selling real estate, probably not likely that everybody's going to be talking about your site unless you do something really crazy on it. Maybe go to other websites that are promoting the same sort of thing. Ask them to cross-link to you. Cross-links help you in Google. Probably the most effective way, it costs a little money, is to buy AdWords, Google AdWords. How do people find sites? You go to Google. Let's say you want to buy some desert land. What would you do? You'd go to Google and you type in real estate, desert. Well, you'd like to show up if somebody does a search for real estate desert or desert land or buy desert land. Well, you can go to Google and you can buy those AdWords. Now, Google's very smart. They don't leave any money on the table. That's how you get a $500 plus stock price. The way they do this is by auction. So if you were, for instance, going to try to buy the words real estate, you'd find a lot of competition and a very high price per click. You pay per click, maybe 50, 60, 100 bucks per click. If you use a less common word, that fewer people are bidding for, or better yet, nobody's bidding for, you'll pay a lot less, maybe a couple of bucks a click or $1 a click. So that's what you want. You want to find a, you know, a few words that people are likely to use when searching for your site. And you want to buy those words for as little as you can. It's Google AdWords. If you go to google.com/AdWords, they'll explain it. There's some very good books on Google AdWords on how to use AdWords more effectively. And I would suggest a little study because there's an art to this, to paying less and getting more. But Google's brilliant. Google's totally brilliant. This has worked very well for them. And if done properly, works extremely well for advertisers. 11:48, 12 away from noon. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio.
John Ziegler, evenings right after John and Ken, 7 to 10.
KFI, AM 640.
KFI, AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI. That's my phone number, and Mike's in Oceanside. Hello, Mike. Welcome to KFI.
Hey, Leo. How are you doing?
Hey.
Listen, I'm a big fan of the iPod. So much so, I've got a 30 gig, and I bought my wife a 60 gig last year. However, recently, certain podcasts I listen to crash the thing.
Yeah, there's a known problem, and you know, I wish Apple would fix this. It's with firmware 1.2, the one they most recently released.
That's it, and I checked that before, anticipation of talking.
There's
today.
A fix. Are you ready for this? It's weird.
I'm ready to copy it down.
It's very simple. Apparently, it only happens with mono recordings,
okay.
And that's why it happens with podcasts, because all music is stereo.
Okay.
So it's with their mono recordings. And the fix, according to Apple, and Apple does have a tech note on this, is to turn off equalization.
Turn off EQ, okay.
On the iPod. That's it.
Wow. And thankfully, none of the Twit Network podcasts...
Well, they will, because I get... And the reason I know about this, I get lots of email from people saying, your podcast crashed my iPod. And it's a bug. And, you know, Apple, the firmware 1.2 has been an absolute nightmare. In many ways, it's slower. It causes crash. I've just had so many problems. I've had to reformat my iPod Photo twice.
Hmm.
And it's, you know, and finally it seems to have settled down. So that seems to be one way to fix this, maybe, is to do the restore. So make sure you've got everything on the iPod backed up, which you do if you've been syncing. And do the restore and format. But frankly, this is supposedly the fix. And I've told a number of people this who've complained about my podcast crashing their iPods. And they say, yeah, that fixed it. Just turn off the EQ on the iPod.
Okay, Leo, we'll give it a shot. Thank you very much. Love the show and love the podcast.
Thank you, Mike. Take care. I don't usually use the EQ, but apparently, why would that make any difference? I don't know what it does. It's software. Mark Santa Ana, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hey,
Mark.
Why not just send it out in stereo?
Because it's twice as big?
Yeah.
So, for instance, this show is a podcast. There's no reason to send it out as in stereo. It's just my voice and your voice. The music is in mono, but there's not that much music. If it were a music podcast, I certainly would do it in stereo. But why have, you know, instead of 25 megabytes, 50 megabytes, just so that you can hear me on the left and on the right?
No. You hear me on the right and you on the left.
I did that a couple of times just to see what would happen. You know, when we have panels with five people, I panned them around a table, and some people loved it. Some people said, it made me nauseous. If you're listening in a car, right, it's very confusing. If you're listening with headphones, it makes sense. So we're going to do a Dolby headphone version of MacBreak Weekly in January that will be not just surround, but there'll be people above you, below you, to the behind you. It's going to be very strange. Anyway, before I run out of time, what can I do for you, Mark?
Okay, I'm putting Nod 32 on the computer, but first I had to pull out Panda's Norton Internet Security.
That's right.
I did the uninstall of Panda, ran their uninstall little deal, but my, what is it called? My firewall is now grayed out.
Yeah. Where, when you say grayed out where? You mean your Windows firewall?
Yeah, the Windows firewall is now grayed out.
Won't let you turn it on.
And it's in the off position, no less.
Yeah, that means that something remains of either the Panda or the Norton or whatever you've been using. And because what happens when you install that is it disables the Windows firewall, so you won't turn them both on.
Right.
And uninstalling it, unfortunately, this is frequently the case, doesn't remove everything. So you've got to really root in there and see what else is, what other bits and pieces of that old security software are still in there. Be honest with you, do you use a router when you get online?
Yeah, Linksys.
You don't need it. You don't need the router does everything the Windows firewall does, and better.
Okay, hey, can I ask you a question about the E900?
Real quick, yeah.
Yeah, how do you not take such fuzzy pictures?
You take fuzzy pictures? We're talking about the new Fujifilm Finepix E900, right?
Right, right. And sometimes, I mean, it's hard.
Oh, you know, a common problem, my wife has this problem. You've got to make sure before you don't just snap the picture. This is true with all digital cameras. Halfway down first. That's the autofocus.
Okay.
It won't focus until you press it halfway down and give it a second so it can autofocus and then press it the rest of the way. If you just, like a manual camera, push that button, you will get blurry pictures because it won't be in focus. You may also get blurry pictures because you're jiggling the camera. So it's kind of like, you remember when you learn shooting, target practice, squeeze the trigger. So it's kind of like that with a camera. You press it halfway, and this is true of all digital cameras. You press it halfway down. In fact, all automatic cameras film too, to tell it, okay, I'm pointed at what I want. Focus, do the light reading. It's very quick. Halfway down, and then the rest of the way. And I think you'll get much better pictures. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 11:59, time to head to the KFI News Center, where Lisa Osborne has the latest.
November 25th, 2006.
KFI is a talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. It's 12:07. I'm Lisa Osborne, KFI News.
Thank you, Lisa. Good afternoon, everyone. Leo Laporte here. I am the tech guy on KFI. Lines are open. Give you a line right now, 1-800-520-1KFI. If you call right now, there is a line open, 1-800-520-1KFI. That's really unusual, and I think it's because everybody's out shopping. Yes, it's that time of year. Beautiful day to go out there and get some shopping done, or maybe just enjoy the weather. 1-800-520-1KFI. Jim in Santa Barbara is looking for some advice. Hey, Jim, welcome to KFI.
Yeah, thanks, Leo. Hey, I need your help. I'm trying to get an MP3 player for my future son-in-law, and I'm a bit of a geek, but I don't know anything about, you know, music. I'm a network guy.
Right.
Right now, what he does is he just uses Winamp on a desktop.
Okay.
And just plays MP3s that he's ripped off of CDs.
Okay. So he has no copyright-protected music. He hasn't bought anything in a music store yet.
No. He doesn't do iTunes. He doesn't get it off the web.
That's good, because that would be a limiting factor. You know, if he'd ever bought anything in iTunes music store, you'd have to give him an iPod.
Well, right, exactly. And I'm looking at this. I'm looking at, you know, ACC formats and WMMAs, and I don't really know.
Yeah, it's not so much that. I mean, MP3's fine. It's about the copy protection they lay on.
Yeah, this digital rights management.
Right.
I don't want him to, you know, get all, you know, wrapped up in having to redo all the music that he's done over years.
Well, anything he's got will work on any player.
MP3s will go to a MP3 player.
That's the lingua franca. Every player speaks that. So you really have a wide open choice. If he thinks he's ever going to buy music, he's got to, you know, this is a hard thing. You know, unfortunately, it's gotten very personal. So you kind of got to ask your daughter. It's just kind of secretly maybe watching and say, is he going to ever buy music online?
You know, I suspect not. I mean, he's like,
so
he just gets
like
CDs
it.
From friends and rips them onto the desktop and then plays them in the background.
Then the next question is, how important is portability to him? Does he exercise? Does he run?
Yeah, exactly. He goes to the gym. And you know, I was looking at your website, and you have a couple of pretty good threads going there. Someone's recommending the Koan iAudio 5.
I do not recommend those. Those are they're cheap Taiwanese players.
Never mind.
And I think you're really better to go with a brand name, to be honest with you.
Well, look at iRiver also.
iRiver's, there's three names I would consider, actually four now. There's iRiver, which I think is excellent.
Okay, great.
There's Creative, which I think is excellent. There's, of course, Apple, which I think is excellent. And I think, frankly, that the new Zune from Microsoft, for some people, makes sense. Now, it doesn't make sense for him, because I think if you're talking a lot of exercise, you want what's called a solid-state player. There's two kinds of players.
Right. Hard drive. Flash. Exactly.
Yes. There's hard drive-based, which you know, like the iPod with video is. And now, they have more storage. They have 30 to 60 gigabytes of storage. But they're a little more prone, you know, if you're jogging them around. Whereas a flash is lighter, only stores up to 8 gigabytes, but it doesn't weigh you down as much.
Yeah, and I was looking at the iRiver, because the iRiver has like an incredible battery life. It says like 45-hour battery life.
Yeah, the solid states will give you better battery life. Another one I should add is the Sansa from SanDisk, S-A-N-S-A. Yeah, those are really good too, and they're very affordable. The advantage of not buying an Apple product is you get a lot of people who are trying desperately to break into that market. So they give they either give you more features or they give you a lower price, and often both. For instance, the iRiver and the Sansa both have FM radio receivers. They have voice recorders built in.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are very handy.
Yeah, no, he's a business guy, so I thought the voice recorder, he might actually be able to use it.
Absolutely.
You know,
I know people who do podcasts with the iRiver. It's that good.
Oh, wow.
So
okay,
I would be,
so which iRiver are you thinking? I mean, there's a couple of them out there. There's the I was looking at that T10, kind of like the small
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's very cool looking, and it's very portable. Now, that's 2 gigabytes, right?
Yes, exactly. There's a 512 and a 2, and I was looking at the 2.
2 is, just so you know... 2 is maybe 2,000. I usually say it's about a megabyte a minute for music. So it's 2,000 minutes of music.
Which, that's plenty.
Which, yeah, I mean, that's maybe 100 CDs.
I want him to be able to, you know, pick stuff off of his, you know, desktop, stick it on the MP3 player. I mean, it's not going to be like a storage unit.
Right.
I mean, he's going to be changing the music all the time.
That's very good for exercising. That's where the Nano is good, too. Now, because the Nano is up to 8 gigabytes, which is a lot of music, and it's very, very portable and light. Now, you should look at the Nano, because it's a lot lighter and portable than this, but it's more expensive than this.
Well, can you stick MP3 on the Nano, then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Without having to go through all this digital rights management,
As long as it's not protected, you can put it on anything. All of them have copy protection on them, but the MP3s are unprotected, so they'll play on anything without any effort.
Oh, okay.
See, That's the other issue. iTunes is a great over and above buying stuff or anything like that. It's a great way to organize your music. A lot of people use it even if they don't use iPods. Whereas the software that you have to use with iRiver and these other Windows players. Is Windows Media Player, and it's frankly not as elegant.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess that was my other question. Is he going to have to, I don't want him to have to change from his whole Winamp setup.
He is.
He is, regardless?
Yeah.
There's like no way that he can avoid going from the Winamp to something else?
Some of them might sync with Winamp, but I don't think they do. I think almost all of them sync with Windows.
Oh, let's see.
Yeah, Windows Media Player. So
I didn't really want to force him to, to go to a whole other environment just to play, you know, on his MP3 player. That's...
Yeah, there is a... I'm just looking here to see. There is a Winamp plugin that will sync to the iPod.
The iPod.
Let me see if there's a Winamp plugin that will sync with Windows Media Player. I don't see one. Somebody has made it to sync with the iPod. Mm. Now, whether that'll work well or not, I don't know. He's probably going to want to move over to either iTunes or Winamp or Windows Media Player.
Yeah, okay. And it won't be like a digital rights management
issue. Until you start recording stuff with digital rights management or you start buying stuff with digital rights, there's nothing to worry about.
Yeah, as far as I know, he's just like borrowed CDs or had CDs.
As long as he's ripping
them to
himself.
MP3 and stuck them on this little music server I gave him.
The one place people get into trouble is sometimes when they rip with Windows Media Player. Windows Media Player by default will add copy protection, which is crazy. You have to actually uncheck that box. But if he's been using Winamp to rip, then he's fine.
Yeah. Okay. So really, I could go with any kind
anything.
Of MP3 player, even
anything.
An iPod if I wanted to.
Yeah, and I have to say...
Because he's not an Apple guy.
Obviously.
The whole Apple aura, he just doesn't really... He's not interested in,
If he's resistant, if he's kind of anti-Apple, then I would stay away from an iPod. But the reason the iPods sell so well among Windows as well as Apple users is they are really good MP3 players. Now, the iRiver... is $150 for 2 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually, I found
that's
$119.
Okay, so you won't get the discounts on the Apple, but that's roughly the same list price as the Apple iPod for 2 gigabytes.
Mm. Oh, really?
So, so the price-wise, it's not more competitive, but what you do get is a recorder, and you get the FM radio. I think I like the iRivers. One thing that people don't often think about is sound, and the sound quality on the iRivers is probably the best after Apple's.
Oh,
so
I think the
T10 is a pretty good choice, to be honest with you.
But he's going to have to go to the Media Player 10, though.
As far as I can tell, unless somebody's made a... I'll have to look, and maybe somebody has made a Winamp plugin for the T10, and that would be great, because then you wouldn't have to. But, you know, the truth is it's a one-time thing. All the playlists will move over. He just tests... If he really likes Winamp, and he's just going to have to stop using it.
Well, he's not a real... geek. I mean, he does what he does on computers, and that's it. He's not like, he doesn't spend like hours adjusting his playlists and things. He's got them all kind of set up, and I don't really want to force him into a whole nother piece of software that
it looks,
you know, if I don't
like,
have
I'm
to.
Just looking here. It looks like there are companies that make plugins for Winamp that work with the iRivers.
Okay.
Let me just check here. I'm just doing a. I just Googled the Winamp and iRiver, and it just seems like there may be. Yeah, it looks like you can do it with the Winamp. So it, you know, it's like there's something called the iRivium.
iRivium,
which is software for the iRiver, but that's for the H series. But I think he can find stuff. The question is whether he'll want to use these Kludgy solutions or end up just using Windows Media Player, which would just be easiest.
Yeah, okay.
So I think iRiver is a good choice. I think the Sansa is a good choice. Again, Creative makes some good Zen portable players, the Movo. Apple, the reason the iPods are popular is they really are the best in class in many ways. I mean, those Nanos are beautiful. They're smaller than any of the ones I've mentioned, but they don't have an FM radio. They don't have a recorder. You can add them, but they don't come with them. So, you know, I think unless he has a lust for a Nano, go ahead and get the iRiver. He'll be very happy. But in general, when people ask me, should I get an MP3 player? I say, you know, there's an advantage to going with the dominant MP3 player, the iPod. You know, it's best supported. There's more accessories, software. It's best supported. And frankly, the iTunes Music Store is still the best music store out there. Microsoft's making them run at them with Zune. It's interesting. I mean, they've got a ways to go, but I think the Zune Store has some potential. Zune Store has one thing that the iTunes Store does not have, something I poo-pooed for a long time, which is a subscription service. For $15 a month, you can have any song in the store, and you could play it as many as you want. You could fill your Zune instantly with songs. And as long as you keep paying the $15 a month, you keep listening to them. So they've got you for a monthly fee, but then there's any, and this you can do with the iRiver too, using the Yahoo Music Store or Napster. Most of the Windows stores have subscription services as well as the pay-per-song service. iTunes only allows you to buy songs. You can't subscribe. That's something Apple's decided to leave out. And I wouldn't be surprised if they change their mind down the road, but right now that's how they're doing it. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, KFI. AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 1218.
What do you get when you mix more stimulating talk radio to your weekends? Duh. More stimulating weekends.
KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, of KFI, 1225 now. Don is in Rancho Cucamonga. Hello, Don. Welcome to KFI.
Thank you for talking to me. Hello.
Of course. Hello. Thanks for hanging on.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for your show. You know, it's a long story. It's like a year and a half story, but my screen, I bought an extended warranty from one of the larger companies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on for a year and a half. I keep getting it blue screened. They sent it back with the hard drive wiped three times now, so I've had to redo it.
Oish.
My Microsoft Office can't be reinstalled because I've reinstalled it so many times. I lost a $400 program, I think it was.
Well, you can call Microsoft and explain, and they will they'll let you install it. I mean, you're right.
Oh,
it's a pain,
you.
But please, yeah, don't give up on that program. You did pay for it in Microsoft. Just if you explain them what's been going on, they'll go, oh, okay, yeah.
How funny. I mean, it's not funny. It's horrible.
It's not funny. It's a lemon is what it is.
It is a lemon.
It's a lemon.
They said it would be three times if they replaced a certain part of the hard drive, a certain thing three times it was a lemon. And they can't find it. The last time they said they ran it for a week on a special program that runs the computer for a week and it didn't blue screen. My wife, it's our business computer where I feed my family with this computer.
Who makes this piece of dung?
Geez, am I allowed to say that?
Of course you are.
Thank you. It's a Compaq.
Okay. Word of warning for anybody listening. Maybe Compaq. Did you buy the extended warranty from the dealer or from Compaq?
I bought it from the dealer.
Okay, so that's sometimes that's the issue. Remember, that different people can insure it. So you've got a dealer's extended warranty, not the manufacturer's extended warranty. Now, they may not offer. I don't know if Compact does. Usually they do. I mean, I think they probably do. But that's the thing. Is it a Compact extended warranty or a third-party extended warranty?
No, it's a third-party. Yeah. It's with the company. And every time I send it out to them.
So that's the people to be mad at, not Compact.
And the store's been wonderful.
Well, not so wonderful.
The manager of the store feels just terrible about
it. Well,
he
doesn't feel terrible enough. He's got to feel more terrible. He's got to fix it for you.
Understood.
Right? It's his, you know, and this, I have to say, this is one of the reasons I don't recommend extended warranties, especially third-party extended warranties, because, you know, their profit is in not fixing it. So they do as little as possible. Now,
I bet they spent more money.
Maybe.
In looking at this computer, sending it to this they send it to an outside source to fix it, and they keep it for 3 weeks at a shot.
But now every time you get it back, it runs for a while, or what happens?
It runs for a little while, and then it goes back to the blue screen again.
Do you install additional software on this, or you just run it the way it is, the way it came back?
Well, we have to reinstall. The last time they said it just didn't blue screen for a full week that they ran it.
Well, see, remember, now, a blue screen can be software, but it can also be hardware. So if you start installing stuff on it that's different, you don't know. See, that, and this is what they're saying. They're saying it's something you're doing. So if you're installing new software on this sucker, it could be the software that's doing it.
The blue screen says hardware malfunction.
Well,
contact dealer.
Okay, but that doesn't, you know.
Thank you. Understood.
Computer error. Computers don't know what went wrong. They're doing their best job of guessing. I would suggest what you do is not install anything on it, and see if it runs reliably for a week or so, as they claim. If you can get it to fail before you've changed it, then it's definitely a hardware issue. If you're installing software on it and then it fails, then you got to suspect the software. So it's right now we don't know what's causing the failure. You can't trust the computer. I mean, I'm inclined to believe it's a hardware issue. But if you're putting new stuff on there every time, you got to show, you know, unfortunately it means you're going to be even longer without it. You can't use it as a business computer because you really got to prove there's something wrong with this. That's what they did. They said, well, we ran it. But, you know, running it with a artificial diagnostic program is not the same as running it in real life. It might be, for instance, that when your wife rests her left wrist on the thing, puts a little pressure on the motherboard, torques it, and that's what causes the blue screen. It's probably something like that. So running software in a with a thing on a shelf isn't going to do it. So as soon as somebody puts their wrist on it, it goes boom. I think you have every right to really get angry here. Maybe call Bill Handel and say, what do I do? Because I think they have, it's a lemon. But if you want to make sure, run it now without installing any new software. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio, 1230, Lisa Osborne's in the KFI News Center.
It's Handel's world. He just lets us live here. Monday morning, 5 to 9.
KFI, AM 640.
KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy on KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI. That's my phone number, 1-800-520-1534. We're talking about high tech. We're talking about Cyber Monday, the big shopping day on Monday when people get online and start buying. It's the online equivalent, they say, of Black Friday, yesterday's shopping craze. I think it starts, frankly, now. On Friday, I don't think people wait till they get to the office to do their online shopping. In fact, I know it doesn't, because did you see what happened to Walmart on Friday? Walmart online was paralyzed. So many people went to Walmart.com to shop that the site was out. Starting 4:30 a.m. on Friday, Eastern time. So, 4:30 a.m., I'm thinking It's European visitors or something. According to the senior manager of Keynote Systems, which monitors this stuff. Keynote's a company that does it for a fee for other companies, but they also, you know, since they're monitoring the internet in general, they often will put out press releases on this kind of thing. 100% outage on the Walmart site from 4:30 a.m. Eastern to 2:30 p.m. That's 10 hours. Holy cow. Walmart took the site down at one point and put up a page said, sorry, we're experiencing high volume. Can you imagine? I mean, what do they think they sell an hour on Walmart? $1 million an hour? Yeah, I think that's probably reasonable. That's a very big e-commerce site. We know, and that must have cost them millions. According to a Walmart spokesperson, due to a higher than anticipated traffic surge, we made the decision to shut down the site temporarily, but it's now open for business. The problem is resolved. Now, I have to say, a site like that is, look, this is big business. Undoubtedly, they've got lots of bandwidth. They've got redundant bandwidth. They've got other network operation centers they can switch on. They've got other hardware they can switch on. You've got to wonder what happened. I mean, on the busiest, what probably was the busiest day of the year, they're down for 10 hours. Amazon also had trouble, but that was because, you know what they did? They do. This is something new they're going to start doing, and I think it's brilliant. They are so good at marketing. They put up four items, and they asked for votes from Amazon customers as to which one should be sold at a deep discount. So the items were... You know, a bicycle, Amazon Prime membership. I can't remember what the other one was. And an Xbox 360. So 98% of the votes are sell the Xbox 360 for $100. 25% is normal price. 75% off. Actually, no, that'd be 80% off. And, of course, most people voted for that. So at 11 o'clock on Thursday... Those Xboxes went on sale, 360. There were only 1,000 of them. But at that moment, for about 15 minutes, you couldn't get online. Keynote said, we noticed a little bit of a blip at 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's exactly when. But other than that, Amazon's performance was stellar. In other words, and this is why the Walmart thing puzzles me. Amazon, yeah, they got a huge surge of hundreds of thousands of people at the same time. But it was a blip. You flip the switch. You turn on more servers, you add capacity. And a big e-commerce company has that capability. You bet they do. DisneyShopping.com also suffered outages on Friday. But for Walmart to be down for 10 hours, whoa. It makes me think that there's more than just shopping going on here, that maybe somebody was attacking Walmart. You know, and they would never admit this, but there's something going on right now. It's really reprehensible. There's a blackmail scheme that goes on. It's so far only gone on with gambling sites, where hackers who have at their disposal botnets of thousands of zombie computers. We've talked about this before. When a guy gets a virus on your system these days, it's usually not a prank or vandalism as it used to be. It's not, you know, ha ha, I got you. What they want to do is get on your system secretly, stealthily, and co-opt it, make it their own without your knowledge. Viruses today, you don't know you got them. If they're done right, you don't know you're infected. They're trying to hide themselves from you. And so what they do is they create these botnets. And there's two things they use them for. One is to send spam, because spammers can't use traditional means anymore. No reputable internet service provider will let them send their mail, so they have to use other means. They buy these co-opted computers from the hackers, 7 to 10 cents each. And they use them to forward email. That's a lot of the email now comes from these big broadband networks like Comcast with co-opted computers, hacked computers. Might be yours if you haven't paid attention, if you're not doing the right thing security-wise. Well, the other thing they do with these is they create botnets. And I've seen these happen. It's amazing. They create an IRC channel, special channel. And when the virus runs on your computer, it logs onto the IRC channel. It doesn't tell you anything. You don't know what's happening. You don't see it. It just logs onto the IRC's channel and says, here, ready, reporting for duty, sir. And it may do that for weeks, months, years, and never be called upon. But these hackers may have 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 computer botnets. Huge. In some cases, I think it's 100,000 computer botnets. They're just an army massed, ready to be used against a site. But until the command goes out, they do nothing. So now, I imagine it's not the hackers that do this. I imagine what happens is the hackers are either hired by or offer their services to organized crime. It's a new form of protection racket. The organized crime guy now goes to a poker site or a gambling site and says,
Excuse me, but you know it would be terrible if something happened to your online connection. And you would lose a lot of money. I can protect you.
What he's really saying is,
if you don't give me...
This is the old protection game.
If you don't give me the money, I'm going to knock you off.
And when you're a poker site and you're knocked off for a day or two, millions of dollars. Now, of course, it only lasts a day or two because by then you've moved to another site, you've changed your IP addresses, you've protected yourself. But for that day or two, you're losing millions. So are you going to pay this guy off? You bet.
I'll take the $10,000 in small unmarked bills.
So this is my theory, and I have no evidence to back this up, but it makes sense. Why is Walmart off for 10 hours? I don't think it's shopping. And they'll never tell you this because they don't want to, in any way, give anybody any ideas. But if they were victim of this kind of a protection racket, didn't pay the money, and somebody massed a massive botnet against them, it would look no different, by the way. I have to tell you, Keynote would not necessarily know this. It would look no different than 100,000 people just trying to visit the site. That's exactly what it looks like. Oh, we're all trying to buy here. We're all trying to buy some you know, toilet paper or whatever it is, you know. We're just trying to sell and buy something here. It would look exactly the same. Because of the way botnets work and so forth, it's just a lot of different computers trying to get on the site all at the same time, just like shoppers, except they're not. That's just it's a theory. It's not, I'm not saying it's what happened. I'm just wondering. Could that be what happened to Walmart? Because you've got to figure Walmart is of anybody, but this is a big e-commerce site. They're ready for this kind of traffic. How could they have been that surprised for 10 hours? 12:47, 13 away from one. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
The truth hurts. She'll tell you anyway. Dr. Laura, Monday, noon to 3.
KFI, AM 640.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Jim in Lake Forest. Thanks for hanging on, Jim. Welcome to KFI.
Hello, Leo. Listen, I want to thank you very much for your program. It's really good. I really enjoy listening to it.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
I'd like to find out some of your recommendations about video home surveillance systems.
Yeah, there are lots of choices out there now because these cameras have gotten so inexpensive. Do you, the ones that are in my, you know, spectrum are the ones that you can look at on the internet or attached to a computer, or even some of them have their own essentially websites, web servers on them. Is that what you're looking for? What do you want to do?
The thing that I was most interested was having some off-site recording take place, and I haven't been able to find a system that does that yet.
So you want to have a camera. Do you want to have it connected to the internet?
Yes.
And then it recorded at another location?
Correct.
Far away.
Yeah. For security.
Yeah, I understand. That seems pretty doable. There's certainly... a number of choices of cameras that will do this. Do you want full motion video, or are you content with? That's the problem: is sending video over the internet. You're not going to be able to send high quality video in full
motion. No, I'm not interested in.
But if you had a picture every second or two, that'd be enough, right?
That's correct.
There's some great choices for that. And the thing is, recording it is just as simple as recording any incoming video on your computer. Let me see. The one we used to use, I can never remember the name of it. I know they know in the chat room. It was, we used it on the call for help set for a long time, and it did a great job. It was a very, very cool thing. It was basically a camera that you needed to plug it in, and you needed to have an Ethernet connection for it. But then it would put up a website, essentially, that you could then surf to, and you could watch from any computer on the internet. And if you can watch it,
you can record it.
Yeah, it's really cool. Golly, and I always forget the name of it. Guys in the chat room, help me out here. What was the name of that camera we used on... Oh, they're still debating whether the Wii or the 360 is better. They're not paying any attention at all. It was a streaming webcam. I know D-Link makes them, and we've used D-Links before, and they're quite good. I wish I could remember the name of this thing. I'll have to think about it. It'll come back to me, and I'll put it in the show notes, or I'll tell you. But if you look at D-Link's security cameras, these are the same idea. They essentially, it's DLINK.com. They essentially have a server in them. Some of them have Wi-Fi, so you don't even have to have an Ethernet next to it. Some of them have hardwired connections. And these, like the DWL7700AP. Is that what I want? Wait a minute. I think I've got the wrong number for you. That looks like it's a bridge. No, I'm trying to find the camera. Anyway, I will find it for you, and I'll let you know. But these are all pretty good solutions, and recording them should be pretty straightforward.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Hang on the radio. Keep listening, and I will get that information for you. What was the name of that great camera we used? It was so cool. It streamed pretty fast. I mean, it looked like almost full motion. It was like watching an old silent movie. It was a little bit jerky, but not bad. The problem was, of course, you could only have, 9 or 10 people watching it at the same time. So it wasn't really useful for a television show. You know, we had to kind of hide the address so that people wouldn't. Yeah, it was the Axis. Thank you. Thank you, chat room. It was the Axis camera. Let me see if I can find the model number for you there, Jim, because it's AXIS.com. And we used, which one did we use? I'm looking at the various choices. Network cameras, video servers. Well, just, if you go to Axis.com, you'll see. I can't remember which model we used. Looks like the Axis 210 is what we were using. Very cool. And that's exactly what these are designed for. They're essentially network surveillance cameras designed to broadcast over the internet. And they work. I highly recommend them. They work great. Not the cheapest thing in the world. You're gonna spend a few hundred bucks per camera, but they're built to last. They're metal bodies. They're very tough. Good lenses. The quality of the picture is amazing. They have wired and wireless. We use the 210, I believe, but they have the 206, which is also a little smaller, a little more cost effective. AXIS.com. Thanks for the call, Jim. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. 1259. Lisa Osborne is in the KFI News Center.
November 25th, 2006.
It's 65 in Laguna Beach, 64 in Anaheim, 64 in Manhattan Beach, 65 degrees in Burbank. KFI is the talk station that does live local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. It's 107. I'm Lisa Osborne, KFI News.
Thank you, Lisa. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. KFI. 1-800-520-1KFI. That's my phone number, 1-800-520-1534. Dr. Dean coming up in an hour. And then at 3, it's a fresh John and Ken. Wayne Resnick with The Real Story coming up right after that. It's a great afternoon to stay tuned to KFI. And if you're out and about shopping, this is the place to be. We're going to talk a little bit about the things you might want to get. We mentioned the Xbox 360. Talked a little bit about iPod versus iRiver MP3 players. Cell phones are tough. If you're buying a cell phone for somebody, of course, you have to first check to see what service they've got. I think a lot of times you don't gift cell phones. It's really a more personal thing. But I do say that everybody who is buying a cell phone this season really is looking at the Crazer now. The Razr was the sensation of last year. The Motorola Crazr, K-R-A-Z-R, is a cell phone of choice. This year, 2-megapixel camera. You gotta love that. It's a little thicker than the Razr. It's got a little bump on the bottom of it. The top part is about the same, but because it's got this, I guess the 2-megapixel camera, it's got more memory, high quality video capture, Bluetooth. It has a micro SD slot, and it plays music, and that's a big change. It's a music player too. And people are just loving this. So I would say that's going to be the cell phone of the holiday season. I'm liking the iPod Red. I'm giving that for gifts. In fact, I'm giving quite a few of them gifts to my staff and so forth. Because first of all, $10 goes to Product Red, which is the Bono's project to cure AIDS in Africa. So you get a good feeling. It's red, which is very festive, right? They've got a 4 gig and an 8 gig version, and the Nano is so cute. So I'm giving a few of those this year. For cameras, I'm recommending the Fuji FinePix F30, which I love the Fuji films. I'm a FinePix fan, and this one's even better. The low light on this. It goes up to 3,200 ISO. And so this is a great camera for shooting indoors. I hate flash, you know. Unless you have a big camera, an SLR with a hot shoe, and you can use a reflected flash, you know, bounce it off something. Flash just so bright, washes out everything. It just doesn't look good. So whenever I can, I use natural light. And that's a problem on compact cameras because, first of all, your flash is right next to your lens. You're going to get red eye. It's going to wash everything out. And they don't have, usually, they don't have the sensitivity to take low light photos. But this new FinePix F30, the F30 just came out. Really amazing. 3,200 ISO setting. Wild Planet for toys. I'm giving out to my kids. I hope they're not listening. My son, the Verticon. Oh, is this cool? Air Combat. It's just $30. It's kind of like Quidditch. It's a game where you arm your little tiny floating combatants. Basically, they're ping pong balls with hooks on them and stuff. You can put little arms and things, and they spin, and then you fly them in the air, and they battle each other They're battling the other guy's ping pong ball, and it's really fun. Verticon. And I said I'd mention a GPS. This is a good gift now that they've fallen in price a little bit. You're not going to give somebody a $1,000 GPS, well, unless you're really generous or you're very guilty. But now that they've come down quite a bit, I'm liking the Garmin StreetPilot i2. It's a little screen, but very good functionality. Really nice. You know, it's for your car. Turn-by-turn directions. $250. You know, you'd be surprised, but that's the kind of thing that's going to make somebody very happy. So I'll put links in the show notes to all of these, but some of the gadgets I'm thinking are good if you're out shopping for the geek in your life. Gary and Tustin, KFI, you're very patient. Thanks for hanging on. Leo Laporte, the tech guy here.
Hey, Leo, good to talk to you.
Thank you, sir.
You were talking with a fellow last hour about how to promote his real estate website. I guess he has some desert property to sell.
Right.
And we have found one of the best ways to promote a website these days, and it's cheap because there's no cost, unlike Google AdWords, is a podcast. We use iTunes almost the same way and the same model people used to use AOL.
Interesting.
And
interesting.
Use a keyword.
Right.
And
so
you know,
you'll say on your business card, iTunes keyword. What is the keyword that you use?
Well, you and I have talked before, Drift Zone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Drift Zone. So Gary has this really, Gary's brilliant because he's picked a specific niche that is a really natural audience, which is drift racing. And you do videos, right?
It's a video podcast, exactly.
And you're very smart.
The official video podcast.
It's the official video podcast?
It is.
All right. It's driftzone.com?
TheDriftZone.com. But all of our promotion of our show is iTunes keyword Drift Zone.
So you'll say, that's interesting. So you'll put that on your business card. You'll put it on your promotional literature.
Remember those little baseball type cards that
right.
I handed you at the
right.
Yeah, we handed out, I don't know, 30,000 of those throughout the year, and our show, which went on the air in September, went from 0 to 50,000 downloads
wow.
in about 7 weeks.
Wow.
And that was the only promotion we did whatsoever, and it was all aimed at iTunes keyword Drift Zone.
Because very interesting.
The huge majority of all podcasts are downloaded from iTunes, and so we decided to use iTunes in much the same way people used to use AOL, and we use that particular model. And our sponsors next year will be doing exactly the same thing for us.
Gary, that's very innovative. I actually hadn't thought of that because so many people. Podcasters complain that it's hard to find their stuff on iTunes. So that's what a great idea to just give out because iTunes does have a search. And
absolutely.
They could just put that word Drift Zone into the search and there it is. Now, the problem is other competitors are going to show up too, right?
Well, so far none. But even
you're the only one, huh?
We are the only one. We are the only one. But even if they do, that's really not a bad thing because that just means that more people will be searching that particular term,
and they'll see you, and they'll probably download both, right?
Absolutely.
So I see. Yeah, I just did Drift Zone in iTunes, and there it is, the Drift Zone. There's only one. You're right.
And the very cool thing is if you've got a real estate property or whatever, you know how expensive and how difficult it is to get placement on Google AdWords with something as general as real estate. And not so tough a problem with iTunes because people have not discovered that advertising model yet.
There is one issue, and that's if you get really successful. And I'll give you an example. If you put Twit, which is my podcast network, right, TWIT,
right,
in the search, what happens now is, yeah, you'll find mine, but you'll also find 50 others because people are putting Twit in their description, hoping people will find their podcast as well.
That's true.
Isn't that mean?
but we also, in anticipation of that, have a strategy, which I probably won't mention right here right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I'd keep it a secret if you've got a way around that.
We have a strategy for that for next year because, you know, our audience grew absolutely viral. We did no promotion other
clever.
Than those cards.
I like that idea. I'm going to have to do that. If you do Twit, it's still, you know, the top 20 are probably mine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's not so bad. Then there's a guy named Kevin Twit. Who has a podcast. And then there are a number of podcasts that don't seem to have Twit anywhere in there, but I know that they use it in their keywords so that it would show up when you do a
right.
search for Twit. And that's because I'm successful and that people want to piggyback on that.
Absolutely.
I think that's brilliant. I think you're absolutely brilliant. And I thank you for sharing that technique. And might as well say the other technique is to call the radio show and say thedriftzone.com a few times.
That never hurts, does it?
Gary, I admire you considerably. Gary's really somebody who saw the value of this new medium very quickly and has really done, I think, an excellent job at capitalizing on it. You're very smart.
Well, it sure is fun, I'll tell you
that. Did you came from a regular TV background?
Came from radio and TV, much as you have.
Yeah.
Found myself really corrupted by my experience in television doing a video podcast. Everything I tried to edit looked old. I turned it over to most of my edit staff are very young.
Get the young guys to do it.
And they gave it the look.
Yep. And you're doing another thing I think is really smart, which is on your front page, and I think all the video podcasts are now doing this, you have a flash player so people can watch it right there.
Right.
And I think that's key to sampling a podcast. If people can go to your page, look at it, and play it right there, they're much more likely to subscribe to it down the road. It also helps to have attractive hosts. I see you do.
Well, thank you.
My goodness.
They are.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you very
Take
much,
care.
Bye.
Yeah, it's a really interesting world we're living in. I just read an article. Where is this? The Journal, Wall Street Journal. Today, talking about cable networks, there's a graph on viewership in the cable networks. It's plummeting. All the big cable networks, like the Discovery networks, are losing audience. Where are they going? They're going to the internet, of course. They're going to podcasts. They're going to pay-per-view. There's all other, you know, I'm looking at Discovery Channel. There's a spike at in the year 2000, and then it's just right back down to 1995 levels by now. Same thing with the Learning Channel, spike and down. And it's not because these networks are bad. It's just because there's competition. There's other networks. So what are they doing? They're going online. Cable networks realize that's the future. Radio realizes it. That's the future. Television realizes it. Even movie. You know, I was talking earlier in the show about the fact that you can now buy high-def movies on your Xbox 360. If I were making an HD DVD or a Blu-ray DVD player right now, if I were Toshiba, Panasonic, Sony, I'd be a little nervous. Because what they did by creating competing formats, incompatible formats, HD DVD and Blu-ray, there's no clear victor in the marketplace. People aren't buying them. They're not going to buy the players. They're going to wait. But if you're Sony, Pioneer, and Toshiba, waiting's a bad thing because people like Microsoft are coming along and saying, you don't need an HD DVD player. You can download HD movies. You don't need the player. I think you can make a pretty good case that they missed the boat. It's too late. We are in a very interesting time. It's a, you know, as the, may you live in interesting times is the Chinese curse. It's good for upstarts, good for people like Gary who see the writing on the wall. It's bad for the mainline businesses. This is a tough time for them. Figuring out how they take, how the Discovery Channel takes its business and brings it to the internet without cannibalizing its old business is tough. 119, I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio.
Information doesn't take the weekend off.
Neither do
KFI, all weekend long.
KFI, AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. Leo LaPorte, the tech guy on KFI. Corinne in Pasadena, welcome to KFI. Thanks for your patience.
Hi, Leo. Thanks for talking to me.
Of course, Corinne.
I'm able to download, I guess everybody else is too, download audiobooks from the library.
Yeah.
For free.
But they're copy protected.
Well, but they say that you can put them on a portable player.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right now. It says this title can be transferred to a portable device during the lending period.
Yeah, but.
But.
This is, it's, I'm really unhappy with, I think I know what system the library is using. Most libraries are using this system now. It has copy protection. These are not MP3 files, I take it, Corinne.
Oh, okay.
What's the format? Can you see the
it
file
says
extension?
Overdrive. Does that help?
Yeah. See, these are copy protected, so you'll have to use them on a MP3 player that supports that form of copy protection.
There are, like, that's Overdrive then.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
so in other words, not an iPod.
Right, I know it's not an iPod.
So the Zen does it, the Sansa does it, the Zen does it, and the Sansa does it.
How about the Wolverine?
I don't know the Wolverine. Who makes the Wolverine?
I don't know, but I...
No, it's Costco. See, I'm on the Overdrive site, they have a list.
Okay.
The Movo, the Zen, it looks like all the creatives do. The Dell Axum does, the HP iPack. Let me look for the Wolverine. I don't see the Wolverine.
They sell it at Costco.
Yeah.
It's probably 100 gigabytes.
Oh, wow. There's a lot of these Taiwanese MP3 players.
Okay.
And the problem with them is they probably don't pay the license fee to Overdrive to put the Overdrive. Yeah. So what I would do is, if that's what you want to do, for instance, I listen to Audible books, but now I pay for these, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to not pay.
Yeah, I don't blame you. It's expensive. And they have copy protection too, right? So I can only listen on Audible compatible. Unfortunately, iPod is Audible compatible.
Yeah.
I don't know why libraries who have traditionally been in the anti-copy protection business, all of them do this now.
Hmm.
And it drives me bonkers. But this is the only way you can do it. You have to have, they've put copy protection on them, and you have to have, you know, it won't work after the 2 weeks is up or whatever the period of lending is. I guess it's a month.
Right,
it's a month,
right.
So, you know, I guess this is what the publishers required of them.
I see.
But if you ask me, it's a lousy idea, especially from a library.
So I'd be better off to get an iPod and go to Audible Books.
Well,
and
you'd be paying a lot more, though, because it's, I don't know. It's like,
yeah, but. Do you pay monthly?
Yeah, it's a monthly fee.
Yeah.
Now, they've changed the system. They use a point system kind of now, credit system. I still have my old subscription, which was, I think, $15 a month for 2 books a month. But I think it's different now. So you'll have to see what the pricing is. It's not cheap. It's cheaper than buying them.
Yeah.
And you get to keep them, which I like. There's no expiration date because I can't listen often to the books fast enough.
Right.
So I have hundreds of books now in my collection.
Would an iPod have enough memory that you could download two?
Oh, two. Are you kidding?
Two books?
Oh, easily. The books are around 100 to 200 megabytes each. So even a 1 gigabyte iPod would have enough for 5 books.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And a bigger one would have a lot more. My 60 gig can hold hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books.
Oh, sure.
I just downloaded Bleak House, which is like, you know, huge, and there's plenty of room.
Oh, that's great.
And the quality sounds very good, but there's still copy protection. That's the thing that frustrates me. I wish they wouldn't do this. The libraries, of all people, shouldn't be doing it. I understand why a commercial entity like Audible does, and I guess that's why the publishers are requiring of the libraries. But, you know, if you borrow a CD from the library, you can make a copy of it.
Yeah. Well, I can make a copy from the library books.
Right.
But it takes 17 CDs.
It's a lot of work.
CDs.
Right. Well, you could turn them into MP3s.
Oh.
And then you could put them on an MP3 player.
That's still a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Now, is a iPod, can I listen to it in the car so my husband can hear it too without earphones?
You need a car adapter, and that's what I do.
Okay.
Yep. And you can either get an FM transmitter or a cassette adapter if you have a cassette player. That's the best if you have a cassette player. And it works great. And we do. On long trips, we listen to books. It's wonderful. Leo LaPorte, the tech guy. KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. 130, Lisa Osborne's in the KFI News Center.
It's for your own good. Dr. Laura, Monday, noon to 3.
KFI AM 640.
138 on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. Leo Laporte, the tech guy till 2. I'm Dr. Dina Dell. Lynn in La Mesa, thank you for hanging on. Lynn, welcome to KFI.
Thank you, Leo. Pardon my voice. I have a frog in my throat.
Uh-oh.
I own a Samsung SCD363 camcorder.
Okay.
And I have tried the U-Lead, the Roxio, and the Fireman CD-DVD-2.
And none of them work?
No. Weird. I've got none of them to work.
Weird.
To now, transfer the photos from the camera so I can make it.
The video or the stills?
Video.
The video. And you're using the USB cable that came with the camera, aren't you?
Well, it's got the USB, but I also had a FireWire.
Oh, and you tried the FireWire? And that didn't
and
work?
I am using the FireWire, and it's not working.
Because a lot of times people use these cameras with the, you know, the cameras are too cheap to include the FireWire cable. So they say, well, it's got
exactly.
USB, and they try to capture video over USB, and it doesn't work. That's because it's too slow. But if the FireWire is not working. So this, what you're saying is that these programs don't see the camcorder and you can't control it and you can't import the video?
At times. But I took one of the films. I've got films back from a year and a half ago from Alaska.
Yeah.
Of course, that camera, I drowned. I got caught in a rainstorm.
Oh, no. So you don't have the camera any. So I see
not
you bought the
camera.
Samsung to replace it. I got it.
Correct. And I've copied one movie. And I thought to myself, whoa, geez, I'm getting pretty good at this.
It's working, yeah, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to do it since.
So what happens?
It starts, and it'll start to copy a little bit.
It does see
it.
So the software sees it.
Most of the time.
And you're able to press the import button.
Yes.
But then, part of the way through, it just goes, and it stops working.
Yeah, it just burns right out.
I don't know. That's weird. It is not unusual for some programs not to see all camcorders. You know, there's every program has a hardware compatibility list.
Exactly. That's why I've probably got two more.
You've got all the programs
that I haven't tried yet.
Boy, that's weird. So you have Adobe Premiere Elements?
Yes, I have that
you
as
have
well.
That, and you have ULEAD.
But I haven't tried it.
ULEAD and Adobe Premiere are my two favorites. The Sony movie studio is also a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like, does it say what's going on? Does it say it's, for instance, does it say, I'm running out of disk space? Does it give you any error messages?
No, that's what's so strange. It keeps blinking the capturing button. And it's not, it just, you can see the preview, and the preview is stopped. But the camera is still running.
Camera's still running.
The camera's still running. The pictures
basically,
it
sounds like you've kind of lost the signal somehow.
Mm-hmm. And then other times, I'll disconnect it, reload all the software, plug it back in, and it'll say no camera detected.
Then it doesn't see it anymore.
Mm-mm.
Why, you got me. I'm not sure what's going on. If it's, have you tried the camera on other computers just to make sure it's not the camera?
No, my laptop's still in Houston where these pictures came from. So I'll have to wait till it gets home.
I would see if you can get a friend with a FireWire compatible computer just to try. What you want to do is isolate what the problem is going on. Is it the camera is, and you've got the camera plugged in when you're trying to do this. It's not doing it off the battery, right?
Yeah. No. I've taken the battery off.
It's odd that it's working and then stops working. That's unusual. I could see maybe it never worked, but the fact that it works at all usually means the hardware, the cable, the software are all compatible and working.
Yeah,
so why would
I've
it
got
just
one full
stop?
Disk. I don't know. I am going to try the Adobe Elements, though.
That's in my experience.
That's
the best.
Seven or eight different ones.
Yeah, I hate to see you buy more software, but that's
well. No, I've got it. I'm already software poor, so that's
right.
Okay.
In my experience, that's the best one.
Okay, that's one reason why I really want a Mac so bad.
Yeah.
But I don't want to buy everything all over.
No, although the Mac comes with iMovie, which is all you need.
Oh, okay. But, okay, well, I will try that.
You stumped me. I don't know. Let me know, will you, if it works with Adobe Premiere Elements. But it sounds like there's some other issue going on. It's Windows XP?
Yes. Home.
And there's lots of hard drive space.
Oh, yeah. I got
Have you defragged the hard drive lately?
In fact, I did it day before yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, you obviously know what you're doing, Lynn. It sounds
like don't say that. No, that's one thing I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, I give yourself a little more credit because you've done all the things I would suggest. You might try a different cable.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly what's going on. It could be as why would it fail after a while? It could be that something's overheating. And there's a thermal issue going on because that's a lot of data that's coming in. I mean, I'm grasping at straws here. I don't know.
Well, this tower has a really good. It's got a dual fan in it.
Right. I would check the cable. Just try a different cable and then try different software. And let me know. Will you send me an email or something and let me know?
I will. It does not work at all on the USB cable.
Yeah.
Period.
No. Of course not.
That's
a common, and that's why I was hoping your question was, because that's very common. And then I could have just said, oh, go FireWire, but now you've stumped me.
Well, I stumped you the last time I called you.
I know, you're too good. You're too smart.
Oh, my goodness. You keep it up. You're doing so good.
Thank you, Lynn. Let me know what happens, because I'm very curious. I don't know what's wrong. I really don't. Rick Encino, KFI, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Hello, Rick. Hello. He's been on hold so long, he probably just fell fast asleep. Mark, Indiana. Hello, Mark. Welcome to KFI. How you there?
How you doing?
I'm great. How you doing, Mark?
Yeah, okay. I'm in the market for a new computer, so I was wondering, what do you suggest?
Well, what are you looking for? What kinds of things do you do?
Well, I don't do a whole lot, but I do get on. And what I'm looking at is $599 something, and then it's got the easy pay and everything on it. So,
Who makes it? What's the manufacturer?
It's a Gateway.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll be honest. When people ask me, when home users, would you say you're a computer expert, Mark?
Not yet. I'm getting there.
When a home user asks me, especially if they're not a computer expert, what to get, I usually say a Mac. And I'll tell you the reasons. Now, first of all, it's going to cost you more than $599, so that may rule it out. But
hold on. What did you just say?
Macintosh.
And okay.
And the reason I say that, couple of reasons. One is no spyware and no viruses. That's a big reason. If you're not a security expert, if you're not willing to take the time and trouble to protect yourself, you will get viruses. Oh, I was so sad on Call for Help the other day on the TV show I do. A guy named George called Older Gentleman. Windows user said, I keep having problems, keep having to reinstall, and I have these problems. My browser won't work. I can't get online. And I keep reinstalling and it keeps going bad. And I said, well, it sounds like you might have a spyware issue. He said, oh, I couldn't possibly have spyware. I said, oh, well, that's good. He said, yeah, the only thing I do with a computer is download music from the internet with a peer-to-peer file sharing program. I said, George, I guarantee you have spyware. Now, here's a guy, all he wants to do is listen to music. He thinks he's not doing anything risky. He's not surfing the net, not going out there, not opening any attachments, He's downloading music. He's full of spyware. The guy's loaded with spyware. He's got to stop doing that. Now, that's an example of sometimes if somebody doesn't know what they're doing, they can really get in a lot of trouble. Had he been doing it on a Mac? No problem. There are good reasons not to get a Mac. They are a little more expensive. Cheapest Mac you can get is about $1,000, not $599. I often find that people buy inexpensive computers. A $599 computer are disappointed because they don't work very well or they're unreliable. Sometimes a bargain isn't a bargain. But in general, you can get a cheaper PC than you get a cheaper Mac. The other reason is if you are already a Windows user or there's Windows software you need to use or you've got a big investment in Windows software, well, then you're going to kind of be tied to the Windows platform. You don't want to buy all new software. But if you're buying your first computer or you don't have a big investment or you're not what you would call a Windows expert, I think for a home user, a Mac is so much better. Easier to use, comes with all the software. For instance, Lynn wouldn't be running out and buying 18 different programs because it comes with iMovie and iDVD, and it's all you need. So, Mark, I'm not going to say definitely a Mac. Gateway is fine. It's a good brand. That's a good computer, $599. Make sure you got 512 megs of RAM. A lot of times they cut corners on the less expensive computers. They only put, say, 256 megabytes of RAM. Don't expect to ever run Vista on that computer. It probably won't. It'll run XP fine if it has 512 megs of RAM. It'll have a smaller hard drive, slower processor. Screen will be smaller. You just make some sacrifices at that price. But it might be all you need. If all you want to do is surf the net, read email, that's probably fine. But be very careful. If you go to the show notes, leo.am, click the tips button. I have very good tips on how to avoid spyware and viruses, and I would read those. There are things you must do, like use Firefox. Careful about clicking email links. Very careful. In fact, turn off HTML email. Don't open attachments. Email attachments are full of viruses. Don't download music from the internet. Holy cow. If you're not buying it, you're buying trouble. There's on and on. These are things that Windows users have to constantly pay attention to that Mac users don't. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio. It's 148.
KFI News.
Fox News.
Team to bring you the big stories. KFI AM 640.
155 KFI AM 640. What am I thinking? No, don't go there. 640. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, till 2, and Dr. Dean Adell will be back tomorrow, 11 to 2, and every Saturday and Sunday talking high tech, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Amber and Yukaipa, welcome to KFI.
Hey, Leo.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, what can I do for you?
Well, I'm trying to synchronize my laptop with a monitor.
Okay.
And it'll show the Windows loading screen, and after that, the monitor will just say no sync.
Okay, so that means your Windows is set at a refresh rate your monitor can't handle. So the loading screen is easy. That's just, you know, 640 by 480, 60 hertz, standard kind of low quality refresh rate. But the minute it goes into Windows, it's suddenly trying to drive the monitor in a way it can't. So what you should probably do to make this work is, it's a laptop?
Yes.
Yeah. Is go into the laptop display properties control panel. And choose a monitor type that's much more basic. If you can find the monitor that you have in the options, in the monitor options, then choose that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't, then choose a generic, what they call a generic VGA monitor. So what you'll do is you'll open the system, the display properties control panel, and you're going to click on the settings tab. And you'll see it'll say display, and it'll say whatever kind of display. It probably says the display that your laptop has. What you want to do is press the advanced button and choose the monitor adapter for the monitor you have. Now, that's the first step. The other thing may be that your monitor, and this actually may be more likely, your monitor, your laptop may not be set to display out to an external monitor. So depending on the manufacturer, you might have to press function key. Often it's F5. So you would press function F5. And that's to tell the laptop, oh no, not only are you going to display it on my screen, I want you to display it on this external screen. So it may not know, and sometimes it has to be told. Just because you plug in the monitor doesn't mean it'll see that external monitor. So actually, now that I think about it, you probably should do that first, and you can worry about the display later. If it still doesn't work, then you want to make sure you just to make sure it'll work, it might be worth setting it to just a generic VGA. But then I think it's probably because you haven't set the computer to output something to that port. So look on your laptop function keys. There'll be a function key that'll have what looks like two monitors on it with a slash in between them. That's typically what it has. Usually it's function 5. It might be F8, but so usually 5. You have to press the function select often on a laptop and the function key at the same time. And that says, hey, I got another monitor here. Or check your laptop manufacturer's manual on how to do an external monitor. It has to be told. Then you'll have a choice between two displays or a mirrored display. Do you want to see the same thing on the external monitor as your internal monitor, as your laptop monitor? Then that's mirrored. Otherwise, you want an extended display that gives you two desktops. And that will depend on what you're doing with it. All right. Hey, we're out of time, but I will be back tomorrow. Remember, the show notes are online at leo.am, or just go to kfiam640.com and click my name to take yourself to the official website. And we also have chat through there, and more information, tips, and so forth. Comments are open if you've got something to add, and I'll see you tomorrow. Dr. Dean Adell is next. I'll be here tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I am Leo Laporte, the tech guy, KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk radio. It's 159. Lisa Osborne's in the KFI News Center. Well, that's it for this edition of The Tech Guy on KFI. Thanks so much for listening. If you're ever in the Southern California area, I hope you'll listen live on the radio every Saturday and Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on KFI AM 640. You can also listen on the internet anytime at KFIAM640.com. Archives of older shows are available online on my website. That's leo.am. Click the audio archives button. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast, which is leo.am/podcasts/KFI. My thanks to Howard Bailey for providing the theme music for this show. You can listen to Howard's music at soundclick.com. Thanks to DSL Extreme for providing the bandwidth. Of course, first of all, thanks to you for listening. I'll see you next time on KFI.